Hello and welcome back. Hi, I'm Gary, your host, and this is Military Illumination. We're a podcast for high school students who are considering joining the military, enlisting in the military, and their family and friends, right? Or anyone who's connected with a high schooler that may be interested in helping them make the decision, whether it's a family member or a friend, or even a counselor at their school. This podcast can also be a benefit to someone who's in the military who's considering reenlistment or wanting to know what they've gotten themselves into and best way to navigate their exit plan. It's always good to know what you're into, what's happening, and that it's not an isolated incident, but it's what the military does. It's what the government does. Today, we're going to turn the lights on military episode number 16. Military retirement, corporate style. This is part 3. All right, so here he goes. We talked already about how the benefits are to lure people in. We also talked about how the military, everything is based on the needs of the military through the government. And we also know that we need a military. We need a strong fighting force for our protection. And if you drink the Kool-Aid, democracy, okay? But now we're mostly just a gun for hire. But I'm not going to get into that right now. We need it. We need our military. I would heavily support conscription. I would heavily support everybody, men and women, doing 2 years mandatory. 1 year mandatory. A lot of countries do that. But then the military does not have to hide behind smokes and mirrors. They don't need to lie and tell half-truths. They can be straight up, right? And that's more important. But when they look at military as a career option, that changes everything. When you look and you take the words and the concepts in civilian and twist it in a way that a person is thinking that's what they're getting with the military, that's another word for that is deception. But anyways, that's my point of view. I've served, and like I said before, I was proud to serve. And it hadn't been for the Washington National Guard Red Doctorate, who also tends to be right now, as in general, we wouldn't be having this conversation. A lot of things happened with me when I was in the military, but I assigned any value to it. Not until the incident happened at the Washington National Guard with my friend. And it may, the last 30 years, reflect on it and try to help them get through this situation. Okay? My life, it was illuminated for me with 19 acts of injustice by Brett Doctorey and Washington National Guard. Okay, so now you know the rest of the story. So let's talk about corporate style retirement. It's not unheard of in the corporate world to get rid of people before their retirement. You either do a downsizing, removing their position. Sometimes you got politics and a person isn't able to retire. They get pushed out, they get nudged out. That's okay. That's what happens. And a lot of times when it happens, there's a severance package. That's not bad. It's enough to wipe up it's enough to dry the tears up for a little bit. It's a soft landing. And you can always walk away. And that's half the burden, is that you can always walk away. In the military, you cannot always walk away. When you're in a situation where politics is playing it, they're playing it. You're in play, a person's in play, and there's nothing they can do about it. They have to sit there. They just take it. They have to take the abuse. But, okay? Corporate style, that's what we're talking about, corporate style. Corporate America. In the military, they have something similar to that. Remember we talked about it, can the government truly pay $100,000 for college tuitions for everyone who joins the military? It's not feasible. Okay? It's not going to happen. So can the military, can our governments, can our taxpayers can support everyone who gets in the military and keeps a clean record and decides they retire, can they continue to pay those salaries? No. It's almost like a game with the officers and enlisted or the military, okay? I say the officers because they're in the driver's seat. There's a difference. Officers can resign their commission and walk away. Enlisted people are slave labor and they cannot do anything without having a negative impact on the rest of their life. Between 18 and 19 years prior to the 20-year mark, issues pop up. The military has a record of getting rid of soldiers, sailors. Ooh, I said that. I hate that. Getting rid of people in the military before they can retire is usually at the 18 and 19 year mark. It can be anything from a bad EER to anything. Maybe they don't make the weight law. They don't like the weight thing. Maybe there's challenges. It can be made up stuff. Remember, the Nasty Four is the fairest doctrine, which means that they can make up anything and make it stick. Okay? So now you learn 20 years, your nose clean, no issues, no problems. You come up to the 19 year mark, everything all hell breaks loose. It happens. Your senators know about it. It can even be a medical condition that they just get rid of you. So here's the thing about it is that expect it to happen either as you're trying to get out of the military or at the 18-year mark all the way to the 20-year mark. A lot of people are forced out. They don't need you no more. They're forced out without retirement. Think about that. Is it worth it? Target for early release. Sometimes the military can just start getting rid of people because they're downsizing. Rift. It happens. All of this is based on the numerous ways the military can get rid of people because they cannot sustain the debt load of paying for retirement and medical and dental. Okay. It could even be a medical condition that they're not even recognizing and that you can't perform your job. So you're going to be medically discharged.
Right.
You may have to fight for your retirement benefits, for your medical benefits, but you're not going to retire. This is really a short podcast because there's nothing else to say. There's no guarantees that you're going to retire. When we talk about the four nasties, that one is the Ferris Doctrine. Basically, it means that there's no accountability. The military has full immunity against anything. The court systems will not side with you because they will not go against the military. Your congressional leaders are the ones who voted in the laws which prohibits servicemen from filing suit against their superiors and for the military. And then finally, there's JAG. Of all else spells, they're going to find something to get a person on legally. And you know what? It doesn't even have to be true. Gary, you're lying. You don't know what you're talking about. I'm telling you. Yeah, there's a lot of people who retire, right? Thank you for your service, right? But there's a lot more who had it taken away from them at the last hour, the last year or two. And you don't think that messes with a person's mindset? It does. It all, not only does it affect you your job-wise, but depending on how you got out, depending on what's your prospect for a job after you get out for government. If you get out less than an honorable discharge or general discharge, that's going to affect your future income. So you're going to go retire. It's not guaranteed. Okay? So what's my story? What's the connections? I would say I had a very good career. Okay? No problems. Until I decided I was going to get out. Medical condition. I had some knee issues that I sustained incident to my job. I'd had two surgeries. One surgery when I was stationed in Korea. Doctor put me on a protocol. My command was trying to make me to break the protocol. All right, they were giving me a hard time. Then finally, my first surgery, I had to get a P3 profile and say, this is going to affect your retirement or this is going to affect your promotion. I was probably close to getting, I was getting in that window for secondary. And the words I probably regret, I should have never said it, but here's what I said. It doesn't matter. I'm getting out anyways. Okay. I knew I needed the medical records because I knew I would need them when I got out. Whatever surgeries I think they said I needed to get to, I wanted to have it done before I got out. So I get to Fort Lewis, I was in Korea at the time, and my lieutenant, my platoon leader, gave me a bad EER. Now, here I am, I've been 9 years. I have nothing but spectacular EERs. No blemish on my records. High records, high ratings on my marksmanship, on my SQT scores, on my job performances, high. Testing, high. I don't think I got anything less than a 95. High, I was even lying. I was being considered, they were doing the background check for me for the White House communications at the time that I was here. So I went to complain to my my sergeant major of battalion, and here's what he said. He says, "I know, Sergeant Tarver, it is not true. We know it's not true what they said in here. But there's nothing I can do about it. I cannot make him change it." Wow. Now, I was less than, this is probably less than 6 months before I was getting out anyways. But if I was thinking about a career in the military beyond the 20 years, that ER would have prevented me from promotions. Think about that. I know the first sergeant in Korea called down to my ninth to my sergeant major or whatever in Fort Lewis. They talk. As I look back at it, that would have prevented me from promotion and could have ended my career. I was already 6, so that wasn't going to matter, right? So those are the kind of things we're talking about. Those kind of things, that's what I'm talking about here. Even though I was getting out, they were going to mess with me until I got out. And it wasn't until I saw my DD-214 as I out processing that I straightened my act up and walk out cleanly. Because they would look for any reason to hold me back and to process paperwork on me. That's how wicked, how nasty these people are. So if you're thinking about retiring, right? It's not guaranteed. It's not guaranteed. When you work for an organization where there's no accountability, you move up at their whim, at their discretion. There's nothing that you can do. And while you're going through this process, there's nothing you can do. While the corporate America will downsize and get rid of people, they'll give you a severance package. They pack you in the head. So you can always walk away, right? You can go to a lawyer, right? You can file suit. You can go to a lawyer. You can file suit. You can bring up discrimination charges against the civil. You take civil action. You can take them to court. You can get satisfaction, but not in the military. You're on your own, and there's no one coming to rescue you. There's nothing that you can do. There's nothing that your parents can do. So that's why it's important that these men and women who are in high school, who's thinking about a military career, understand these facts. So if you're one of those people who suggest it because they need the discipline, they need the jobs training, they need whatever, think twice about what you're putting this person into. Because everything that you mention, you can get on the outside in civilian life. You need discipline, you get discipline. You lose enough jobs because you're not on time, you figure out to get up on time and go to work. You need to get a promotion, you need a new job change, you go to school, you get the skills you need. There's jobs out there, there's job training out there, there's unions that provide these trainings for these big dollar items. There's a lot of vocations out there. A high school kid can come out right off the bat making $20 and $40 an hour. Internships, all of those things. And whatever training they're needing, they can get out in the community. You don't need the job training that's in the military. They're only going to train you to the level that they need you on the battlefield for. So I'm digressing. Forgive me. But when you talk about military, understand here, the corporate style of getting rid of people is alive and well in the military. The main difference is that you don't have no way out if it does go sideways for you. You can go 20 years, 15 years, and something can happen, and you lose all that time. And depending on the situation, you can hurt your future income opportunities. Now, my friend was 19 years, about 18 and a half years when Brett Dockery, Major Palmer Shaw, Chris Christopherson, Dwight Williams, 66th Aviation Brigade, 18 and a half years when they started messing with this person. That person had that 18 and a half years, had less than a year and a half for retirement. They unjustly persecuted this person, falsified documents, withheld evidence. You'll hear more about it later on. But like I keep saying, it doesn't have to be real. They just got pushed paper. And the JAG, Robin Davis, they were in the middle of it. They were the ones orchestrating the whole thing. And you know what the soldier did? The soldier just told the truth. The soldier refused to lie so that Brett Dockery can prosecute another soldier. That's what the soldier did. Think about that. Patty Murray, her office, the governor's in office, didn't do it. Turned a blind eye. Person lost their retirement because of a lie. But if it wasn't because of that lie, because of my friend drugging into this, they're moved on. The PTSD to max. Major issues because of that. I'm carrying the torch because as I look back at it, I wish somebody had told me about illuminated things for me. It would have made a big difference. Anyways, enough of me crying about stuff. I'm going to turn the lights off on this episode. The next episode, number 17, is about investing yourself. Consider saving and investing options. Military retirement, part 5. Thank you. Have a good day.